In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A little delayed reaction here. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Today is the last Sunday of Pentecost. Today is the day that is labeled on our church calendars Christ the King Sunday. This is the day that is, this is the last day in our liturgical year. This is the culmination of the year. And all the things we've done this year, all the different things we've celebrated, all the holidays and all the regular days, all the Sundays and all the weekdays, they've all pointed toward this one idea. This one idea that Christ is King. And so it makes sense to me that on the last day of our liturgical year, we should celebrate that fact to which we've been pointing all year long. Christ claimed kingship over the entire creation, right? Because Jesus Christ is part of that divine community that was there before the beginning and that created the world and everything that is in it. Christ claims kingship of the world as we know it, as we experience it, as we sometimes think that we have constructed it. Christ is king of the nations and the king of economies, the king of business and the king of media, the king of all of our social interactions. Christ claims kingship in our lives individually. Christ is king even of those deep inward experiences that sometimes we are not even aware of, but Christ is there and Christ is king. And just last month we were talking about stewardship, and what is stewardship but the declaration that Christ is king over our time and our attention and our resources. And then, was it last week almost, 2 weeks ago, that we celebrated Holy Baptism? And what is holy baptism except an acknowledgement, a confession that Christ is King in my life? Right? Whether you remember when you were baptized and that was the declaration you made, or perhaps you were too small, but that was the declaration made by your parents and your godparents and your sponsors. Baptism is the declaration that, yes, Christ is King in my life. And so we have spent a whole year of liturgy. We have spent a whole year of worship and study and prayer and service, a whole year of Holy Communion and Holy Baptism, all pointing toward the single idea that Christ is King. That this is the paramount idea of our lives, the central fact of our lives, the controlling story of our lives. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor's office, right? What's the process for seeing a doctor? Right, first you have to call up and make an appointment. And you know that appointment's gonna be at least 6 weeks out, probably more. And when finally the day of your appointment at the doctor's office comes, you go and you go early, right? Because there's paperwork to fill out. And you're filling out that paperwork so that the doctor doesn't have to think about those things. And then after you've done the paperwork, you sit in the waiting room and you're surrounded by all these other people who are waiting to see the same person you're waiting for. But finally, you get called back and you get to go sit in another room. And maybe you adjust your clothing or put on a gown. Maybe you have to provide some samples, right? There are still other things that you're doing so that when the doctor finally comes, the doctor can do the things that she's coming to do, right? The priority for everything that happens in that office space is so that the doctor can do what the doctor's going to do. Every other agenda falls under that, right? Have you ever been asked to make sure your cell phone is off when you go see the doctor? Every other priority falls underneath that of the doctor. In that space, the doctor is king. And in creation, Christ is King. We live in a world filled with many agendas, many priorities, many claims to importance. And yet we have just together spent this year discovering and remembering and reaffirming one agenda, one priority, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what is that King's agenda? What is that King's priority? It has been striking to me throughout this year that we've spent together how often the idea of justice comes up. In 2 out of 3 readings today, justice is the subject. It's a motif throughout the Bible. When you are talking about God, you are talking about justice. That is the very center of God's person and God's reality. Sometimes we like to offer a kind of a simple description of this, right? That's part of how we began our service today. We talk about loving God and loving neighbor, right? That's the whole law and the prophets. And what is loving neighbor but doing justice? Justice means loving all of our neighbors. As we read the Bible tells these stories, and these are repeated stories of redemption, which is to say the coming of justice to those who lacked it. Our first reading today was from the prophet Ezekiel. And as Ezekiel talks about what it's going to be like when God's promises are fulfilled in greater measure, Ezekiel talks about the future, talks about God as a shepherd caring for God's sheep. And yet, Ezekiel talks about the shepherd doing something that I could never do. That's how you know I'm not a shepherd. Because this shepherd is differentiating between the sheep. This shepherd can tell which sheep are fat and well-fed and which are weak and have been pushed away from the good grazing. Which sheep have kept the best for themselves, and which sheep have suffered lack. And God, the shepherd, is going to fix this situation. God will bring justice. Jesus, in our gospel reading today, picks up the same story from Ezekiel, the same illustration about this final judgment and the judge, the king, the shepherd, dividing between the sheep and the goats, between those who acted for justice and those who did not. Those who fed the hungry and welcomed the stranger and clothed the naked, and those who did not. The King of Kings has an agenda. Christ the King has an agenda, and it is justice. And as I hear this, I find it both threatening and encouraging. It's kind of threatening, it's kind of scary, because those who were at the left of the judge, when Jesus says, you know, you didn't do what you needed to do, they say, well, we didn't know. We didn't recognize you. You caught us off guard. How were we supposed to know? And so for those of us who enjoy a measure of comfort, for those of us who enjoy a measure of ease, for those of us who know where our next meal is coming from, and those of us who wake up and see that it's cold outside and, oh, we have the appropriate clothing for that, for those of us who know that the spaces that we enter today are going to be temperature controlled for our comfort, for those of us who enjoy comfort and ease at this time, that can be a little scary. Because not everyone enjoys these things. And that suggests that we might have responsibilities. And yet, this parable, this story, this illustration that Jesus offers is encouraging too, because what Jesus is saying is there's no pop quiz, right? There's no comprehensive examination at the end. Things aren't going to change. The kingdom of God is here now. And so now we are called to feed the hungry and to welcome the stranger and to clothe the naked. And the great thing is we don't have to recognize certain people and treat them differently. It's not like, oh, the boss is coming, now we have to do this. Right? We do the same for everybody. We don't have to distinguish between people. We don't have to decide who is worthy and who is not. We don't have to decide if someone is faithful or not. We don't even have to discern if someone is a Christian or not, right? Our baptismal covenant calls us to respect the dignity of every human being. And as we do that, even now, we will find ourselves living in a situation where Christ is King, where we have already encountered this judgment. And it is a good judgment. Christ, the King of creation, cares for all, for every human being, and as citizens of that kingdom, we are being invited to do the same. So today we mark the culmination of our liturgical year. This is the day that we've been working toward all year long, right? All year long we've been trying out and testing different expressions, different ways to say Christ is King. To celebrate today that Christ is King and how that comes to expression in our lives. And if you're sitting here feeling like, well, I'm not sure I quite caught that all the way through. Maybe you feel like you missed the train. Well, not to worry. The church is bringing it back around to pick us all up again. We're going to start over next week with the great litany on Advent 1 and our confession and our recognition that we haven't achieved it yet. But we're still working on it. And the church is picking us back up to carry us forward. And so as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, I invite you to consider how Christ is King in your life. And to receive today God's invitation to you. Amen.
Amen.